We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
On the Wolfpack Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Play ball!
Welcome to the Nevada Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Sushon.
Nevada Baseball Podcast. John Ramey in for Josh Sushon. The head coach, GJ Bruce, is with us. Nevada baseball stands on the precipice of making some relatively recent history. They have not been to the NCAA tournament since the year 2000. Two wins this weekend, and they will punch their ticket to the field of 64. And they will have to beat San Jose State 2 out of 4. There is also a scenario with some San Diego State losses. They are playing a doubleheader on Friday ahead of Nevada's 5 p.m. game one start against the Spartans. So we'll be scoreboard watching during the broadcast. But Coach Bruce, how does it make you feel to talk about all this clinching stuff? I know that's not the apex of pitch to pitch mentality, but I'm sure it's on. I'm sure it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's uncomfortable. There's no question, because I think in this game anybody can do anything. It's baseball. Anything can happen, and I don't think that's true in all sports. You've called a lot of sports and a lot of different – or a lot of games and a lot of different sports, and I necessarily don't think that's true in those other sports, but I think yet in our sport, anything can happen. I know that team over there that's coming in this weekend is as well coached as anybody else in our league. Their head coach was in the Pac-12 when I was in there, was at Cal. Their pitching coach was with us, you and I, at UCLA for all those years. And their other assistant, Thomas Walker, played in the Pac-12. So we're talking about a very, very experienced staff, and it's baseball. And we're both teams are going to do their best to play pitch to pitch and kind of see what happens. But to answer your question, it's really uncomfortable, because I know that we are – we got to play the game. I mean, that's why the games are played.
There's an article that Chris Murray wrote from Nevada Sportsnet's website, and the headline is, "You rave about the impact your players have had on you." Now,
First of all, true or false, TJ Bruce is probably not the warmest, fuzziest, easiest to get a compliment out of coach to play for, right? I mean, I think when you're raving about your players, that carries a lot of weight because I don't think you blow a lot of smoke.
Yeah, you know, I guess I was just raised in this game a pretty old fashioned. I'm only 39. I do understand that, and I probably should be a little bit more new school, I guess, or warm and fuzzy. I'm not, but I'm not warm and fuzzy at my house either. You know, it's not like they see one person and, you know, my house sees another. Everybody sees the same thing, and I just think there's a way to go about your work and there's a way to go about something. I don't throw out compliments very, very easy, because I think a lot of what people do is part of your job description. You know, if we won 40 games, that was what we were supposed to do. If we go to a regional, that was what we're supposed to do. If we make a good play, we are supposed to do that. That's in my job description as a player or a coach. But these players, it's an older group, you know. There's a lot of newcomers that have been huge contributors, but I just think the group of players in itself have really taught me a lot about myself, you know, but have taught me a lot about how to coach. And I think that's a very, very a huge compliment to this group of guys. I'm just very, very fortunate to be around them. I mean, I don't take that for granted. I think at younger days I did, you know, but I don't take that for granted being around such great people, and that's what they are first and foremost. And it's been nice to go to battle with these guys.
I have to say that the break, the Pack having last weekend off in the heat of what is an old school division race or a pennant chase with no tournament upcoming, you just got to get to the top of the standings and that's it. Having that weekend off is unlike anything I can call on in my experience or having read about in baseball at any level. You and I were exchanging some text messages over the past weekend. And you know, that was weird. We were both kind of sitting around on Friday, Saturday. It was like fish out of water stuff, at least for me.
Yeah, it was an odd time for sure to have a weekend off. You know, the only good news for it, I think, is that this is our third time now to have a bye week. So I don't want to say we're just more experienced, I guess, in running a bye week than we were the first time. And then we got a little bit better the second time. And then we got a little bit better the third time. But I think it's definitely an interesting point as we move forward and go throughout the weekend and whatnot. We had a chance to get some guys healthy or healthier, had a chance to slow things down a little bit and just get them to run around for last weekend. We did inter squad. We've had some live arms go just about every day. We've done what we can, but as they say, if you're not prepared by now, then you're never going to be prepared. So that's kind of how I take the weekend.
You mentioned getting guys healthier. What's the latest on the injury front and who's going to be available this weekend? Obviously, these games are as important as any.
Yeah, I think the only guy really it had a chance to give a break to is Stinson. You know, he had some hiccups a few weeks ago. I'm still kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with him. But just more from a healthy standpoint about, you know, bodies, rest and recovery. We did take 2 days back-to-back off, Wednesday, Thursday, light Friday, inner squad Saturday, light Sunday, off again Tuesday. So they've had 3 days off in a span of five days. So that doesn't happen at all, ever. So I just think sometimes getting away and getting off your feet, you know, can equate to getting your body healthier and make this last weekend push.
Does it help you guys that because you had to dig out of a hole, essentially every weekend has been an elimination weekend for a month, maybe more?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to it, definitely, you know, and I think that's part of a coaching style too. And, you know, you talked about earlier about the quote unquote clinching weekend. And, you know, I feel like the staff coaches that way.
I mean, let me interrupt. You always say, whenever pregame I ask you about pitching or whatever, you always say, hey, look, it's game seven today. So you kind of are always clinching every game.
Yeah, and I think that's a mentality. I think that's what you have to do, because I'm all, you know, Coach Snow always talked about it long ago, and so did Coach Weathers. It was just, you know, the word was set, S-E-T, you know, and you know, I would walk in the office, and Coach Weathers would be like, hey, Coach, did you set up BP today? Yeah, we're all set. And he goes, nope, we're never set. And I think that's an uncomfortable – that's the uncomfortable feeling a little bit, to create some uncomfort, to know that you're never set. You're never set in anything you're doing. You're always striving to get better, and you're always – your back is always against the wall. And I think it creates high awareness and alertness that you don't get if you are set. Because when you're set, you're comfortable. And we all know what happens when you get comfortable, bad things happen. And so I think, you know, we have that term here, we're never set. And we also have the term, you're always down by two. You know, so you hear that in our dugout quite a bit. You can be up 1-0, but you're down by two. And that's a mindset.
Anybody we should keep an eye on with the Spartans and the matchups?
You know, I mean, we've dove into their team. Obviously, Ibarra, I think, is you know, their best guy in terms of just numbers, you know. But, you know, going through their lineup, you know, if you go through their lineup, they're a pretty experienced crew. You know, they've had a tough go with COVID. They've had some cancellations, quite a bit of them. So I just know this. Here, you know, when you're playing the game, everybody's dangerous. And I don't pay attention to record. I don't really look at stats a whole lot. I mean, I know them, and I know stats, but I try not to look at that when I don't need to. But I know the coaching staff, and I know that coaching staff is going to be hungry, and their guys will be ready to play. I do know that, and I can guarantee you that. It's about the only thing I can guarantee you on the weekend, is that team will be ready to come in here and play.
All right, Coach Bruce, we're going to talk to Seth Moyer, the Spartans pitching coach, after the break here. We all spent some time together under John Savage at UCLA. You said his nickname was Billy Wrinkles, which I actually didn't know or didn't recall. So I'll ask him about that. Is there anything else I should hit on with Seth Moyer?
You know, yeah, I don't even know where I think the name came up. So we'll see if he'll tell you the truth. But the name came up one day because, you know, we got our laundry out. Seth and I were with John. We're always there at 6 a.m. I mean, it was like clockwork, 5:50, 5:45. Somebody's like taking a nap in their car if they couldn't sleep. You know, it was a unique time. So I would always try to catch Seth if he was taking a nap in his car and bang on his window and startle him, or he would try to do the same. But Billy Wrinkles came about when his laundry was wrinkled one day. And I'm like getting dressed in the locker room or the coach's clubhouse. And I'm like, Seth, what is happening? And he had no idea, and he's wrinkled. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to call you Billy Wrinkles. And it kind of stuck. You know, but Seth is an unbelievable human being. And I think that's first and foremost. I love my time with him. I think he's a heck of a pitching coach. I was so glad that Brad gave him an opportunity, you know, cause he was in pro ball for a little bit, and I knew his heart was in coaching. And so he was with the Twins scouting. So I know he can really evaluate, spent some time with Coach Savage on that USA team. A few years ago, so he has unbelievable experiences, and he's going to make an impact in that program. So I'm really happy for Seth, and I haven't seen Seth actually in a while, so it'd be good to see Seth and catch up and all that stuff.
He's TJ Bruce. It's the Nevada Baseball Podcast.
As powerful as the Lexus RX.
As many safety features as the RX.
With an interior just as refined as the RX.
If they're talking about you, you must be doing something right. Experience the Lexus RX, the leading luxury SUV of all time. See Dolan Lexus.
Based on manufacturer's published data, May 3rd, 2018.
Nevada Baseball Podcast. And I just finished up with Pack head coach TJ Bruce, now visiting with Seth Moyer, the pride of Cody, Wyoming. Seth is the pitching coach for the Spartans. And I asked Coach Bruce what I should ask you about. Coach Bruce was very excited to get to see you this weekend. And he goes, Billy Wrinkles. And I said, I didn't remember that one. But as he kept describing the source of that, it started to feel somewhat familiar to me. Maybe I heard it on a bus back in the day. So please tell us where the origin of Billy Wrinkles comes from.
So the story starts with my move from Chicago right after I took the job at UCLA. And I didn't have a place to live. I had very few items, and most of the clothing I had was just given to me, like UCLA gear. So I had nowhere to put anything. I had like a small pickup. So like I had this huge Rubbermaid tub with everything I owned in it. Not huge. I mean, pretty average size, but so the clothes would get washed and I'd put them in the Rubbermaid tub like as a dresser, but it was at the ballpark because I had nowhere to put anything. I didn't have a house or an apartment or anything. But it was so tight in the tub that like all my clothes would just be fried. They would be wrinkled. So I would come to the office and get all this hard time, and I deserved it, but I couldn't figure out. I didn't have a locker or anything to hang. So like I just looked like I looked terrible for, you know, probably my first 2 or 3 months there. I couldn't figure it out. So that's on me. I just didn't know what I was doing. But
you've had an incredible journey in baseball. Like, we spent time together with Coach Bruce and Coach Savage, pride of Reno High School at UCLA. And I was looking on your Twitter. You also have, you were on the USA baseball coaching staff. Current Nevada pitching coach, Troy Buckley, was on that staff as well. And also the Snowman, Dave Snow.
That's right.
Who Coach Bruce talks a lot about. But you have a ton of pro ball experience too. I remember you telling me about you were like A-Rod's guy for a week when A-Rod was rehabbing.
I don't know if I was his guy, but I certainly was, you know, I was one of a few people that were still listening maybe at that point. I did an internship right after school and I got done playing. I did that with the Yankees down in Tampa and, lived in a hotel. I mean, it was similar. I mean, I'm sure my clothes were wrinkled then too. It's hard to believe with my OCD levels, but.
Cause I should say this is audio only, but you're impeccably put together now.
I thought this was normal, but I apparently wore a lot of wrinkly clothes. So, I did that with the Yankees and then went to scout school. The Yankees sponsored that, and that was a pretty neat experience, more of like a networking thing than anything. And I met the former director of operations for UCLA baseball there, Trevor Ryan, and he said, "Hey, man, Coach Savage is looking for a guy." And I had never been to LA at that point in my life. So I was fortunate enough to get that and get on with Coach Savage when TJ was there, and that was awesome. And, you know, then I, right after UCLA, I was a scout and I did that in the South. I did that in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, and had the chance to be on that 17 USA coaching staff with Coach Buckley, which was amazing. And after that summer, that was so much fun. But there was a scouting opportunity that came open again in California, and I had been ruined by that point. So I could not wait to get back. And just recently in December, I had this opportunity come available and I was really looking forward to get back on the field. But so, yeah, the Yankees and the Twins are my experience with professional baseball. Yeah.
I want to ask you about this year's Spartans, because you guys have had an incredible journey. And, you know, COVID has been impactful, clearly, for everybody across the sporting landscape. But for those who don't know, explain how your season went or didn't go for well into March, maybe April, right?
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people, there, you know, a lot of teams, every team really had their own COVID, their own COVID obstacles to overcome. And I think really the teams that came out of this winning, it's a testament to their discipline and to the players' discipline and their commitment to it. But for us, we had a tough time. Santa Clara County is a bit more staunch than most counties. And I think, you know, for good reason. They're pretty strict. And I think, you know, we paid the price for that on the front end, where a lot of teams were starting their season in mid-February. We were having our first practice in mid-February. So we tried to sort of package it like our spring training. And, you know, towards the end of March, we had our first series against who was then the number one seed in our conference, which was San Diego State. And we played them pretty good. We took one. We had them at home, and then we had a couple more weekends after that canceled due to COVID. So most of our year, I think, has been spent just trying to find games, trying to when we get canceled, we try to get on a plane, or we try to, you know, just make sure that we have a chance to compete against somebody. Whereas I think the routine of it's kind of out of the window at this point, but I think for our guys and to keep just our sanity, I think we needed to play somebody else. So, it's been good. We've learned a lot. We've played some really good teams. We played them on the road, and, you know, we just haven't played enough games. But, you know, with COVID, I think like the biggest fear for a coach, or maybe, you know, especially a pitching coach, I think, is getting your guys in shape and making sure that everybody stays healthy and you don't put anyone in a compromising position. And I think that, you know, from the coaching side of it, I think it's been difficult just to, you know, because everything's new. Like you're trying to be creative and, you know, you're trying to also set your guys up for success. And it's been difficult for the players. It's been difficult for the coaches, but I think, you know, it's a testament to our team that they're still competing. I mean, they have really good energy. They're fired up to be here. They're fired up to come to practice. And, you know, at a certain point, I think they're playing for each other and stuff. So I think, you know, we're kind of dangerous because of it, honestly. I mean, we're dangerous because we got a lot of guys that are just playing for each other. And you know, I think if the season went a little bit longer, we might be able to make a pretty good run at something, but it's where we are today. You know,
I from the sound of it, it seems like one of these things that with the passage of time, it will be something you cherish as part of your experience in the game, and the players will, but now you got to kind of wear it, right?
Yeah, I think everybody is. I mean, I think, you know, teams like Nevada, who, you know, I think at the beginning of the year, you know, TJ was probably losing hair or going gray. And I you know, but I think there's something about it where, like, if you treat it, you know, for what it is, as an experience and something to learn from and something that's going to build you, I think that you can kind of embrace that part of the process. You can embrace that moment and say, like, shoot, dude, we're going to come out and we're going to be better. We're going to be better tomorrow. We're going to be better the next day. We're going to be better the day after that. We're just going to keep stacking days, you know. The results, I guess, aren't as immediate as we'd hope for. But, you know, for what we're trying to build over here, I think it's going to be a good thing.
How are you on time? Can I do one more question?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Do you make all your pitchers speak in a drawl? with the Spartans, because I seem to recall that was part of your legend as an assistant or as the ops guy with the Bruins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, we, they don't have to have a Southern draw.
it was funnier because nobody was from the South, right?
Yeah, no, that's what made it great. You know, we had our own language and our own culture in the bullpen, and it was, those guys were totally into it. And I think that was when Eastbound and Down had kind of come on the scene, Danny McBride and the whole thing. And I think that everybody loved it because it was kind of the, you know, from the West Coast pitching perspective of like details. Yeah. It was pretty funny it was like over the top sarcasm. And
I didn't realize it was Eastbound and Down base. That makes it even funnier.
Yeah. Ashley Schaefer, the whole deal. And I think that's where it kind of originated. And then it went on to, you know, we're watching all of these other college games on TV, and the guys with their shirts were unbuttoned and stuff. And it was just the complete antithesis to what we were. You know, it was like it was a paradox to anything that we'd ever known. So it was funny because we were talking like that, and it was not the way they acted. They were so buttoned up. It was pretty good. Yeah.
All right. He's Seth Moyer. He is the pitching coach, San Jose State at Nevada this weekend, the regular season finale. This is the Nevada Baseball Podcast.